Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster together. And I have a couple of Irish pennants to correct. Irish pennants to a sailor are those things which remain undone. They are dangling out in the breeze, and they need to be brought back into line and corrected. It is not a pejorative term to the Irish. It is something that just needs to be fixed. So my greetings today go all over the world, and and in particular to those who have either now have birthdays or have had birthdays recently. And so one of those is my friend and colleague and friend of family rank in the Kingdom of Sweden and in Stockholm in particular, Dr. Professor Reinhardt, who has achieved the half-century mark, 50 years old, and because Mary R. was the custodian of all of the birthday records, and she did such a wonderful job at that, as she did in so many other things, and now she's not here, and so sometimes those birthdays they come, they arrive, their arrival is recorded in one of Mary R.'s calendars, but has not gotten to me yet. And so I am wishing especially all of those people that I know and love who are and have had birthdays that I've missed a happy and happiest of birthdays. The binnacle list remains a sad one in a couple of areas. The first one, of course, is recently we lost Gordon Lightfoot, and the seminal song of Gordon's was, of course, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald lies on the bottom of Lake Superior. And within my jurisdiction as the group commander that included the waters of Lake Superior, and I relieved the captain of Group Sioux, who was the SAR mission, the search and rescue mission coordinator for the search for the survivors of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and of course there were none. And he died in the last couple of weeks as well. My friend Bernie across Puget Sound is also having a rough go of it, and a number of Captain Joe's people whose names I do not announce for various reasons, but know that all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list remain today, as they always are, in the palm of my hand. It is my wish, my desire, and my command that each one of them return to full active duty, and that they follow the instructions of their medical practitioner so that they are back on full duty with all of us, and all of us are being very watchful that all of these things will happen. The announcement of several things upcoming. The first one, of course, is this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. Those of you who are loyal and faithful listeners to the captain pontificate from the captain's chair have heard me pontificate on the subject of Mother's Day and my reluctance to recognize it as a special day, because to me, mothers, every day should be Mother's Day. Every day is Ladies' Day with me. Every day should be Mother's Day, and I've told the story before. I'm going to tell it again quickly, that my own mother, who was Toots in the family, and I had gotten together when I returned from a deployment. It was my custom to go spend some time with her whenever I would come back from a deployment. And in the house that she lived in North Arlington, Virginia, it was the same house that I went into the service from when I was 17. And so I'd come back from a deployment, and in those days, my mother, Toots, and I were not only mother and son in a somewhat unusual definition of that term, but also we were friends, and at that point in my life and in hers, we were drinking buddies. And so after coming back from a long deployment, we were having martinis, vodka martinis were the drink of the day, and we had gotten pretty well into it. And the subject of Mother's Day arose, and I said, you know, Toots, that I have shown over the years, and she said, yes, son, you have, that that I honor you as not only my mother, but as my friend, and I did not make a parenthetical insertion of also being one of my drinking buddies, but in any case, I think that the celebration of a special day and only that day is a little bit disingenuous. And she said, son, you're absolutely right, as you almost always are. And so I said, so are you and I are in agreement on this subject. And the next time Mother's Day comes up, I will not make a special effort. And she said, that'll be fine. But she didn't really mean it. And so when Mother's Day arrived and departed without any special signal sent in her direction, the next time that she and I talked, there was a certain high level of frostiness on the frostiness that was equal to the level of cold that comes with the Wubble Glacier down on the Antarctic Peninsula. You can find it by going on to Google Earth. Or Gimbal Earth, as those of us in Captain Joe's people call it. Not Google Earth, but Gimbal Earth. And I realized that my mother, the Toots, did not really mean it. And so for almost the entire year, there was a certain level of cold coming from her whenever she and I would talk on the phone. And I finally broached the subject with her, and she said, well, I did think that you might recognize it in some special way. And I said, but Toots, we talked about that. You will recall our discussion on this subject. And she said, yes, I recall that, but you will know also, having been around me for a number of years, that I do not always mean exactly what I say. And I didn't really mean, so I said, okay, from now on, there will be some special memory of your of Mother's Day, and but since I'm not your father, you do not need to recognize Father's Day. So Mother's Day this year is going to be the first day of tours out at Point Robinson Light Station. I will be presiding over the tours, and we're also going to make it Kite Day. So come out starting at 11 o'clock on Sunday, this coming Sunday. We'll be celebrating Mother's Day. We'll be having Kite Day, and the ship store will be open. The lovely Kitty will be presiding over the ship store. It'll be the first time that we've opened it up since we closed at the end of the year, last year, at the open house. And the captain's dragonfly kite will be brought out. The dragonfly kite is both large and heavy and beautiful, and it needs about 15 knots to get it up into the air. But once up in the air and you get up about 50, 60 feet up, there's a little mistral up there that will keep the dragonfly in the sky. Some years ago, I have a co-owner for the Dragonfly kite, and some years ago she was out there with the kite, and there was not the requisite 15 knots, so she was running up and down the beach hauling the Dragonfly. Finally got it up into the air. This year I am counting on there being enough wind to get the Dragonfly, and so we will be flying it. The book today, I'm really excited insofar as I ever show unseemly excitement. I'm really excited at both the book and the magazine for this week. And a few days ago, a parcel arrived at Captain's Quarters, and it was from my friend and colleague Fred, who with whom I work on the Coast Guard Channel, and was a participant in the Glacier reunion. He was a sailor in Glacier, and he had gone down to the light at the lighthouse at Point St. Louis. And a lovely lady by the name of Kathy Mastacco has written a book about, and the title of the book is The Lighthouse at Point St. Louis, and the subtitle is A Collection of Short, and parenthetical insertion, the word true, stories by Kathy Mastacco. Fred and Gail, when they were married, at the same time that there was a Coast Guard reunion down in Reno, and Mary R. and I were witnesses to Fred and Gail's wedding. So Fred got a copy of The Lighthouse of Point St. Louis and had Kathy inscribe it to Captain Joe. Books which are signed by the authors are particular treasures of mine. I have a number that were written by my polar friends, the ones that are of particular importance to me are those who were written by friends who are no longer with us, who have crossed the bar. Sir Vivian Fuchs wrote two books, and he wrote to me in both of them. He and I became very good friends during my residence in Cambridge, and he inscribed both of those books to me, and the second book came a couple of years after the first, and you could tell the deterioration in his handwriting, which makes the second one in particular a treasure. In any case, Kathy has inscribed The Lighthouse of Point St. Louis to me. I believe that a copy of this book can be... I believe that it may even come from that small and exclusive bookseller Amazon, but I'm not sure about that. But if you go on to The Lighthouse at Point St. Louis, you type it into a search engine, you should be able to come up with where you can buy your own copy. It has some wonderful, wonderful stories in it. And I just opened it at random. And there was a story by one of the keepers at Point St. Louis that has to do with a keeper by the name of Moorfield. And Moorfield decided that he wanted to become a member of the military side of the Coast Guard. And he tried to do that, and it turns out that he could not produce a birth certificate. And so he submitted a Bible. And it turned out that there is an official letter to Mr. Moorfield that says, please advise Mr. Moorfield that the certificate of birth furnished by him is not acceptable, and that he should attempt to obtain the forms of proof outlined under paragraphs 2 and 3 of a official Coast Guard form. And so he went through several iterations of submission of documentation, and it is a wonderful little vignette of officialdom, even back in 1941, because he was trying to join the Coast Guard in 1941. And anyway, I'm highly recommending the book. I'm highly recommending that you figure out how to get it and how to buy it. And the magazine is a one called the Beacon. It's actually not a magazine; it's a newsletter, and it has to do with the Piedras Blancas Light Station, outstanding natural area, part of the California Coastal National Monument, and the name is the Beacon. The Beacon is a joint publication of the Piedras Blancas Light Station Association and the Bureau of Land Management. And PBLSA is a nonprofit partner of the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, provides support for the restoration, conservation, interpretation, and stewardship of the unique natural, historical, and cultural resources at the Piedras Blancas Light Station. And I bring this one up because I head up the group called the Keepers of Point Robinson that works with the Coast Guard and the Vashon Park District to take care of Point Robinson Light. And the reason why we have so many lighthouses which are being taken care of is because there are volunteers who take care of all of the of many of these lights. The Coast Guard only takes care of the part that keeps it a working lighthouse. That's the truth of the Point Robinson Light. And so this one is called the Beacon. It is connected with the Piedras Blancas Light Station Association in San Simeon, California. And once again, you can go on to and find their website. The last thing that Fred sent me was a book or a pamphlet called Lighthouses, Cutters, and Lifeboat Stations. And it is the life and times of Roger D. Dewey, Master Chief Bosun, made 28 years in the United States Coast Guard. And I skimmed through this, and in particular was I interested in the part of the story that has to do with his time in the Coast Guard cutter Cahoon. Cahoon is a sister to my Agassiz, and there is a chilling description of a couple of storms that Master Chief Dewey survived in Cahoon, and that reminded me of a couple of storms that I survived in Agassiz, including almost being washed overboard in an Atlantic hurricane in her. The Coast Guard has a couple of junior ROTC units, actually several of them, and we are going to be instituting a couple of more. They are now, will be in 8 states soon. There are about 500 cadets, and all of this is part of the effort to make sure that we have eager, enthusiastic young people coming in to take the place of all of us who have served. And you can get more information about this if you have a grandchild who might be interested in a JROTC, Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps unit. You can go on to type that into a search engine, and it will bring you up to a Coast Guard unit that will tell you about what schools these units are attached to and the locations of them. Other things that are going on, I mentioned coming up Mother's Day, which is also Kite Day, which is also the first day of tours out at Point Robinson Light Station. The also this coming Saturday, for those of you who live on the magical Isle of Vashon, that farmers market starting at 10 o'clock in the village farmers market. We're starting it up again this this Saturday. And on the 23rd of May, on this very broadcast, Admiral Stoz is going to be calling in. And she is the one who wrote the book that was my featured book a couple of weeks ago called Breaking Ice and Breaking Glass. And she has, it is more a manual of leadership principles that have worked for her than it is an autobiography. And I regret that there are some aspects of her life which would have been interesting and which she could have used as case studies for her leadership book. In any case, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about some of her experiences, because she also was a captain in the Coast Guard Cutter Reliance, as was your Captain Joe. And also, she was her first command was the Coast Guard cutter Katmai Bay. Katmai Bay is the lead ship in a class of 140-foot icebreaking. She's called a tug, but she actually does a lot more than that. And one of her sisters, in fact, is rigged to push a barge and be a buoy tender. So I had the first, I was the first operational commander for Katmai Bay, and her first captain was Dick White, who had been my operations officer in my Northwind in the Antarctic. And her first chief of the boat was Master Chief Bosun's mate, Mike Calhoun, whose dad was the first Master Chief of the Coast Guard and who I also knew. Mike was with me when he was a very unpromising seaman in my Ingham in Vietnam. So I'm going to have Admiral Stoz on with me on the 23rd of May. And then on the 4th of June is a low tide celebration here on the magical Isle of Vashon. It is at 11 o'clock on the 4th of June. And one of the participants in this will be Mr. Yuck. And I sit on the board that supports Mr. Yuck and the Pacific Northwest Poison Center. So all of those things are coming up. And in the meantime, on other news, there has just been an announcement that has just come out that as a result of the recent visit of the President of the Republic of the Philippines. Philippines is especially warm in my heart for a couple of reasons. The first is that I have been shipmates with a number of Filipino shipmates. And the second is that all of us Coast Guard people, many Coast Guard people have served in the Philippines in units that are connected with when we had the Loran program going, and I will talk a little bit more about the Loran program later on in another broadcast. But in any case, a number of Coast Guard people have served in the Philippines. And all of us who were in Squadron 3 or Squadron 1 in Vietnam were passed through Subic Bay and passed through the orphanages, cathedrals, and Christian Science reading rooms in the town of Olongapo, which is the city that is just outside of Subic Bay. So as a result of the recent visit, an announcement has just been made that there are going to be joint American and Philippine patrols in the South China Sea. And I bring this up because the Chinese, the People's Republic of China Coast Guard is becoming ever more active, and the American Coast Guard is becoming ever more active in the South China Sea. Right now, there is almost a full-time commitment of at least one of the largest Coast Guard cutters to the South China Sea, which means 7th Fleet. And 7th Fleet, of course, was our home during the Vietnam War. And so we can expect to see more U.S. Coast Guard involvement in the South China Sea. Interesting that Coast Guards all over the world have adopted the so-called racing stripe. If you take a look at the side of any Coast Guard cutter, including Eagle, I was one of those that felt that we could not put the Coast Guard racing stripe on the side of Eagle, but I was not consulted by the commandant at the time. And in fact, she does have not only the racing stripe along the side, but she also has U.S. Coast Guard in very large letters alongside. In any case, the use of the racing stripe, which was designed by Raymond Loewy, the man who designed a number of other things, including the Studebaker motor cars that looked like they were going forward or backward. And this has been adopted by Coast Guards all over the world. Our Canadian colleagues, they don't call them cutters. The word cutter belongs only to the U.S. Coast Guard, and it goes back to our days at the very beginning of the U.S. Coast Guard in 1790, when it was called the Revenue Cutter Service. But in any case, Coast Guards all over the world continue to use the racing stripe, and you'll be able to see the racing stripe even on the sides of Coast Guard ships that belong to the People's Republic of China. All of this is of interest, great interest to me, because of not only are we providing resources and highly skilled mariners to man those resources in the South China Sea, but we can expect that there are going to be some confrontations between or even among Coast Guards of various flags in around the area called the Spratly Islands, for example, down in the South China Sea. In the subject of the littoral combat ships, I've talked about them before, and I remark here that the USS Cooperstown LCS-23 has just been commissioned, while soon we're going to decommission the USS Sioux City LCS-11. So we're putting them in at the bottom, pushing them up through the system, and decommissioning them at the top, all at the same time. Wonderful, wonderful use of time, people, and resources. There's been mooting, in fact, that we would sell some of those that are being decommissioned to foreign navies. I urge, I recommend, and I would command, should I be able to do so, that nobody buy one of these ships. They are being decommissioned after being in commission for only a very short period of time for a reason. And that reason is that those are ships that are searching for a mission, and now they are even being possibly sold to foreign governments. Chiefs of naval operations, I urge you not to take one. You will regret it, and I can send you a long paper, a document as to why you shouldn't do that. In any case, we have now once again, on far too quickly, come to the end of our time together. This is your Captain Joe. As always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, I remain with those of Captain Joe's people who are in need of being in the palm of my hand. You are, as always, in the palm of my hand. This is your Captain Joe, and I am once again looking forward to the next time that we foregather, a week from today. And I am, as always, on station and watching properly.